Hello everyone, my name is Roland. I'm glad to be here. And today I want to talk about meditation. In fact, today I want to give you a little sample of meditation. I'd like to do a little meditation for you, which you can do actually, well, you can do it with me. But first, I want to lay some groundwork. I want to talk about why meditation. Meditation, see, here's the thing. People today are more caught up, more lost in brain fog. They're lost in worries and doubts and fears. They're lost in the imagination. They're lost in videos and games, video games, and they're lost in texting. They're lost in all of the powerful, powerful distractions of the world and the distractions of the imagination, more than people ever were before. People in long time ago used to tend to wake up, be more awake, more awake and more aware than people are today. Back then, you know, there may have been some, there may have been little music and there may have been little, you know, conversations, and people, of course, thought about things and imagined things, of course, but not to the extent that people do today, or at least not in deep and proper cultures. I mean, there are some cultures that cultivate getting lost in dreamland, chanting and doing all kinds of strange rituals, dances to get lost in some kind of a hypnotic trance state. Some cultures cultivate that hypnotic trance state where you descend down into a trance and into the imagination. That's not good. But for decent people, everywhere in the world, even decent people who lived in a degenerate culture that emphasized going into trance states, even those people, you know, they somehow intuitively knew to stay away from that sort of thing, to shy away from it. And so if you're out in nature and you're walking in the forest or walking along the beach, or you're out working, tilling the fields and caring for the farm animals, and or doing work with your hands, or you're at home and you're making food and you're doing work with your hands, wholesome work, and you don't have the radio on in the background, and you're not constantly reaching for the iPhone to see who's texting you. You know, if you don't have those kinds of powerful distractions, and you're not taking drugs, some kind of powerful psychoactive medications or tranquilizers or mood stabilizers or uppers and downers, and you're not smoking marijuana and you're not taking any kind of illegal drugs, see, then you tend to be more awake and more aware. And the whole point, what I also need to say is that that's the way we're supposed to be. And that's the way, see, you can be closer to God. People would like to find God. They want to find God. See, they want to find solutions to their problems, okay? They want to have peace of mind. They want to have that bright nature that they had when they were little children, spirit of discovery and spirit of joy and happiness and creativity. They want to have those things, and they've lost them. They want to have them back. And they'd also like to know about They'd like to know if there is God, and if there is, they want to know how to get closer to God. And they want to know about Jesus. If Jesus is, then they want to know how to get closer to Jesus. And I maintain, and I'm right, that the way to get closer to God is to be more aware. More aware. You're not going to find God down in the imagination. You're not going to find God in chanting or in singing. You're not going to find God in a book, no matter how holy the book is. You're not going to find God in a book. You can't study your way to God. You find God in the aware state, in the awake, aware state. That's where you find God. Now, when you are awake and aware, then you can realize things. See, you can realize, which is a knowing without words. See, it's a knowing without words in the aware state. But when you descend into the imagination. Or let's say you become emotional, you get upset about something or excited about something. You get upset about something or excited about something, then you descend into those emotions. You are overwhelmed by those emotions, and you descend into the imagination. Your animal mind lights up. Your computer brain, your animal brain, lights up and begins to process and begins to spew forth all manner of images and words and all kinds of things. You have no idea where they came from. They came from other people. They came from the outside. See, you think they're your ideas and your thoughts. They pop up in your mind, but they actually came from outside. So you're not going to find God there. If you're going to find anything there, you're going to find wrong advice, and you're going to find and the guy with the horns. You know the guy with the horns? The guy with the horns, although he really is faceless. You can't taste him. You can't taste, touch, or smell evil, but it exists. You know, when you watch cartoons and movies and things, well, you see the guy with the horns. Well, how does he communicate with people? He communicates through their imagination. He's people in their mind. Evil spirits, unwholesome spirits and entities and phantoms and these things. They approach the mind and the imagination, and they're able to spin thoughts. They're able to actually talk to you in your mind, the voice, which may masquerade as your own voice. It may sound like your own voice, but it's actually it. See, or it might masquerade as the voice of someone that you knew, like a deceased relative or something, or it might pretend to be somebody else, or it might be just a voice, or it can spin images, mostly images of sex and violence, images of praise, and see, images where you're being praised and worshipped and sexually worshipped, and or images where you're condemning someone in violence. You see what I mean? Or it can spin fearful, scary images where it tries to scare you. See, all of those things it can do. It doesn't have any real power, but it has the power you give to it through believing it, through indulging it, through letting it in, see, through struggling with it, see, and through just not realizing that it's not your very own thinking. It's not your very own thoughts. So that's what's down there. That's what's down in the soup of the unconscious and the subconscious, and it operates through the imagination and through your computer brain, your animal brain. Okay, all right. So the guy with the horns, see, the spirit of Paradise Lost, the spirit of lust, the spirit of violence, the spirit of envy, the spirit of greed, the spirit of anger. Rage. See, it operates down there in imagination, and it can take control. See, it can take control of your animal brain. So now you see why I began to say the people today are more lost in thinking and more lost in imagination and things that foster imagination. See, you know, hypnotists, which the devil is a hypnotist, incidentally. The devil is a manipulator and a seducer, okay, and a hypnotist. And he's very clever. He operates through people, misguided people, unaware people, see, angry people, resentful people, judgmental people, ambitious people. See, he operates through them. Because they kind of like when he says, hey, you can be powerful, you can be rich. See, you can be glorious, you can be worshipped. See, he says that. And he says you can do that through knowledge, through acquiring knowledge or power or something. See, well, people like that. So they lend their ear, they like it. So they indulge those types of thoughts and they begin to follow him because he promises them what they want. On the other hand, people who are full of hate, see, they hate people. Then he begins to spin thoughts of paranoia and thoughts of jealousy and envy and, you know, all manner of unfairnesses and grievances and, see what I mean? He knows what your mental state is, and he tells you what you want to hear. So if some woman hates her husband, you know, she hates her husband. Maybe he's not such a bad guy, but he's not perfect, and her father failed her. She hated her father, and she hates men, and now she hates her husband. He's failing her. Maybe, like I said, maybe he's not a really bad guy, but he's just, see, either she disapproves of him, or she can't stop judging him. See, or he has some faults, which we all have faults. So she hates him. Okay? Well, the devil will take advantage of that. He's always crouching. Evil is always crouching at your doorstep. Always waiting for that little entrance. See? And so the devil comes with tempting thoughts. You know, nobody appreciates you. You work hard and all they do is take advantage of you, and they don't appreciate you, and you know, thoughts of being like a martyr and being a hard done by person and being unappreciated, see? And then operating through other people, he is already corrupted. See, the devil has already corrupted other people who are similarly hateful and told them, well, you know, you're being oppressed, you're being put down, see? And so you buy into those ideas from the outside. Here they come through other people, and so there you have it. See, and then that lady could be misled into divorcing her husband and throwing everything away, and all of it simply because she was resentful. See what I mean? And she lent an ear to those types of thoughts that made their approach. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we tend to be lost down there, and then things foster it. See, drugs foster it. All types of drugs foster the rising up of the imagination, of the soup of the unconscious, the soup of emotions. See, thoughts and images rise up. It fosters it, just like being sick. If you have a fever, then you become delirious, and then those thoughts rise up. See, and you can hardly think straight properly anymore, because those thoughts rise up, and your mind is a delirium. Well, drugs will do that to you, and then we get lost in music. We get lost in video games, violent video games, sexual video games, strange fantasy video games. See, even if they don't have violence in them, see, even if they don't have sex or sexual violence or violence in them, they make powerful use of the imagination, and they sort of take over your, they get you immersed, hypnotized and immersed in images, see. So I think you can see how with all the technology around, see, medical technology and entertainment technology and so on, plus everybody encourages us to get lost in videos and in games and in the internet and in texting. And so no wonder people are walking around in a brain fog. See, we sense it. People sense that they're not fully there, fully awake. Fully aware, fully alive. They sense it. It's like they're in a brain fog. Okay? And of course, the kind of food people eat, too, with all kinds of chemicals in it. And, you know, all of these things, not to mention alcohol and, say, marijuana, and all these things foster being lost in this trance-like, dreamlike, daydream-like state of the imagination. So we need to come out of that. So now perhaps you can put two and two together. You can see now why we need to meditate, why you need a meditation that helps you to snap out, that helps you to pull out of those daydreams, pull out of the imagination, to pull out of the mental fog. See? To pull out of the soup of the unconscious and to pull back from those emotions. That's what you need. That's the kind of meditation you need, and they are far and few, very few. And so the value of meditations I have is that it helps you to separate from your emotions, from the mental soup, and from your especially from your animal emotions, especially your love and hate, want to and don't want to, willful wanting to and not wanting to. Now the reason is that down there in the soup and in the imagination, and down there in control of your animal brain, your computer brain, The guy with the horns. In other words, the faceless thing that approaches us with temptation. It approaches you down there in that animal soup and those animal emotions. And it controls your want to and your don't want to. See, it talks to you in your mind with, see, it offers a temptation, something to move, something that you to want. See, something to want. That's often how it starts. Something to want. And when you give it your want, then it takes control of your want. And then after that, it can make you want something. Even though you know you shouldn't. See, you kind of know when you're standing in front of the refrigerator, you know you're not hungry. You know you shouldn't eat anymore. But it, see, it says you want to. See, it controls your want to. See how that works? All right. So many other things. How about pornography? How about that extra drink? How about the marijuana? See, how about any kind of indulgence? See, anything you know that's not good for you. See, it controls your want to. It makes you want to. And then once it gets control of your want to, then it also then controls you through your don't want to. See, later on you would like to stop smoking, but you don't want to. See, you'd like to eat less, but you don't want to. In other words, you know you should eat less, but you don't want to. You know it'd be good for you to stop being angry all the time, but see, you don't want to. You don't want to stop yet. See, one of these days you'll stop, but not yet. You don't want to yet. Someday you will. You could stop. Remember, like they say, I could stop anytime I wanted to. I could walk anytime I want to. See, but you don't want to. Somehow it controls that. See? So now you see why you need to separate from it. You need someone who can make what is right crystal clear. See, what is right has to become crystal clear. And when it is crystal clear, so clear that you can see the value of what is right, see, or the wrong, the harm in not doing what's wrong. You see it so clearly, see, and you want to be right, but you know you can't make yourself right. So you yearn for the right. You yearn to wish you could do the right, even though you know that you can't of yourself. Not see, you don't have control anymore over your want to, or you see what I mean, or you don't want to. So you yearn for what's right. You want what's you deep down in your heart. You want what's right. You wish you could do right. See, and then see, you see that clearly. Now you're separated from that soup down there. Those emotions and those passions and those desires and those hatreds and those aversions and those phobias. See. And those, intense hates. See? Down there we have intense hates. Like some people, they can't stand. Maybe when they were a little kid, they're. I'm just going to make something up. When they were a little kid, their dad chewed gum all the time and popped gum. Or their mom chewed gum and she was cruel and mean and had a vicious mouth and said awful things to you. And then she chewed gum and popped the gum and you hated her. You hated her so much that now you hate the sound of gum popping. And when somebody pops their gum, it fills you with rage, see? Something like that. That's just an example. Could be anything. I'm just making something up. But you see how as long as you're immersed down there, the rage rises up, see? And overpowers you with its rage, see? So what you must do is learn to separate from those emotions down there. Separate from them. See what is right. And then, see, the amazing thing about when you can become objective, when you can become aware. See the power of awareness. I wrote a book called The Power of Awareness. I still have it somewhere. I haven't published it. I self-published it. It hasn't been out for years, but it was called The Power of Awareness. See, when you're lost down in the emotions, which is where you've been lost most of your life, after you became upset when you were a little child, somebody upset you, they teased you, or they were cruel to you, or they pulled on your heartstrings and you got lost down there, and then you've been lost there ever since. And you go out in the world and this makes you emotional, and this upsets you, and this makes you angry, and this makes you excited, this makes you full of rage, and this makes you nervous, and this makes you hateful. See what I mean? All these things. This makes you jealous, and this hurts your feelings, and you've been lost down there, lost in the imagination. See, with the help of drugs and with the help of music and videos and everything else, see, and other people. But that's where you've been lost. Okay? So, oh dear, now I forgot the point that I was trying to make earlier. It was such a good point, too. What point was I trying to make? I was talking about how we want to yearn for, we want to be able to see. Oh yeah, but now it has power over you. See, those emotions, now those rages and those angers and those upsets, they overwhelm you, and they have the power to over you to the extent that you want to run, see, from the agony. And the spirit that operated through those torments and those temptations when you were a kid, that spirit now, see, approaches you there, see, and it controls your will, if you will. So now you're no longer, you don't have a will of your own. Your will is controlled by it. It's controlled by the world, the spirit of the world, see, that ferreted you away when you were little. Its will has now become your will. See, that's why Christ taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. See, that we want God's will to be done. Now its will is done. The will of hell on earth, as it is, the will on earth as it is in hell. That's what's being done now. You look all around you. Look at all the cruelty and the injustice, and the everything is upside down and backwards, and wrong is right, and right is shown to be wrong, and wrong is held up as being right, and people are cruel to you, and people degrade you. In the guise of helping you, they hurt you. See, it's just wall-to-wall hell. See? So the will of hell is operating through all of the unloved mothers who hate their husbands, and she hated her dad, now she hates her husband, and through all the men that resent their wives and abuse their wives and abuse women, and all the kids that are full of rage because their father wasn't there for them and their mother was mean and witchy, and they go out in the world and then they join gangs and go beat people up and steal things. See? And so the will of hell is carried out from generation to generation through abused women and abusing men, and see, resentful and hateful people. See? They take it out on the innocent little children, and the little children are infected with it, and then they go out and take it out on others. See? So the will of hell operates. See? So now you want to do right, but you can't. It doesn't want you to do right. See? It won't let you do right. It won't let you admit you're wrong. It won't let you do anything. Its will is now your will. See? So it's in charge. So the devil is a hypnotist. See? The devil's in charge. And he controls your animal brain through your emotions. See? Through your emotions, through your rages, and under your rages and your lusts. See? It arouses your rages and your lusts. And then its will is carried out while you're full of rage or you're full of lust. See? How that works? Full of hate. Full of judgment. Its will is carried out. So that's why the meditation is so helpful. Because you can separate from all of that. You need to separate it from. So the real you can observe that. Your soul, the real inner you, your inner person can stand back. See, from being lost in it. It's like coming up to the top of the ocean. You're under the water and it's dark, and you move up, 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 and begin to see light in the water as you approach the surface, and all of a sudden you break through the surface, and there you're above the water, your head is above the water, and there's the blue sky and the puffy clouds. So you need to come out of that soup of emotions and thoughts and imagination. See? Now you're separated, now you can look at it. Okay? You can see those lusts, those rages, those ideas. You can see its will operating through you. See? You can see that it wants you to look at the pornography. See, it wants you to smoke the marijuana. See, it wants you to betray someone. See, to be cruel. To reject your own child. To hurt it. See, to betray your wife and cheat on her, and anything sneaky and rotten. You can see that part of you wants to do that. It doesn't want you to be honest. It doesn't want you to be truthful. It doesn't want you to come clean. See? It doesn't want you to be really helpful. See? You can see it wants to withhold the truth. It wants to withhold true help. It wants to be phony. See? So it's in control of you. And you've always thought it was you. You've been guilty for it, for all of that. See? You've carried around this guilt. And you've hid it and protected what's wrong with you. But know now that it's not you, but it's it. The whatever it, that evil spirit is, whatever it came from your mother, the spirit of anger, the spirit of rage, the spirit of hatred of men, from generation to generation, abused women, and then they get even by hating their husbands and abusing the kids. The spirit of the molester, the spirit of envy, the spirit of anger, of jealousy. See, it got inside you when you hated your parent, and you hated someone when you were a child. See, and now it's operating through you, and it controls you through your emotions and through your will. It's in charge of your will. But you've always felt guilty for it. But know that it's not you. Your guilt is for going along with it when it gave you some advantage. See, when you could express your lust and experience pleasure, or when you could revel yourself a little bit in the pleasure of hurting someone, even as you had been hurt. See what I mean? But you don't really want to hurt people. You don't really want to be cruel. You don't really want to be phony. You'd like to be honest, but it won't let you. So you felt guilty, you've protected it. Now you must realize that it's it. That's why you need the meditation, so you can stand back from it. So the real you can observe this. The real you can step forward into the light. See, for which you yearn. You yearn for the light. You yearn for what's good. For what is true. See, maybe you can't will it because that thing down there, is in charge of your will. But you can yearn. Yearn for what's right. Yearn for what is good, okay? And that yearning your Father hears, your Heavenly Father. And He responds, okay, by permitting you to meditate properly and to come up and out of your super imagination and see all those nightmares and daydreams and all those dragons and awful things down there and voices, see? Just watch them. See? It's like a snake pit down there. It's like a snake pit. Just see it. Okay, stand back from it. Don't feel guilty for it anymore. Your guilt was, but you were born naturally rebellious, naturally naughty. See, born to wrong authorities. No one was there to guide you properly. No one was there to teach you properly. You know, as I am now. So, you were kind of on your own, and you made the mistake of becoming resentful. See, and so that was your big mistake, was doubting what you knew in your heart. And becoming resentful toward other people. Okay? So, now just see that. And all the things that you've done, all the rotten things, all the bad things, all the sneaky things, know that it was in charge of you. It wasn't even really you doing them. It was doing them through you. So now you can see that. See, you can be sorry about what you see, sad to see the wrong, see, regret it, and yet at the same time realize that you couldn't help yourself, and that God forgives you. God forgives you. He's always forgiven you. He just wants you to see that you've been wrong. You've been wrong. You've been running from Him. That's your big mistake. Doubting what you know in your heart, running from your conscience. See? All right. And not wanting to admit you're wrong. Of course, it doesn't want you to admit you're wrong. But now, see? Now maybe you're ready to admit you're wrong. Okay? And see, now you can start to get better. You can let go of the false guilts, and for your true guilt, see that you were wrong, and feel bad over it, and God forgives you. Okay, and then wipe the tear from your eye. Okay, and now that you see that you've forgiven, see what I'm saying now. You will see when you meditate. You will see what I'm saying. You'll see it for yourself. It's true not because I say that it's true, but because it is true, and you'll see that it's true. And when you see that God forgives you, see, that he's always forgiven you, he just wanted you to see that you're wrong and accept his accept grace. Accept grace. You've always been prideful. You've always wanted to do it yourself, save yourself. See, and of course the devil took advantage of that. See, he took advantage of that, him and all of his dupes and all the people out there who tried to always convince you that somehow you could save yourself by acting good or being good or studying or doing something or other. See? Now you see that you can't make yourself good. There's nothing you can do other than yearn for the good, and that God forgives you. And now that you see that, you'll be able to forgive others. Now you'll be able to forgive your dad. You'll be able to forgive your mom. You'll see that they couldn't help themselves either. Something was controlling them. It wouldn't let them be kind. It wouldn't let them be patient. See, it wouldn't let them be for you and tutor you and love you. See, it was there stopping them. So they were tormented. They couldn't help themselves. Now that you see that they couldn't, now you can forgive them. Okay?